WWE World Heavyweight Champion on the fallout of Survivor Series. Welcome to another episode of the Comedians of Wrestling. We're going to cover everything. We're going to talk about the Sheamus cash-in. We're going to talk about just cashing in. How do you feel about that? We're going to talk about 25 years of Taker and what feels like 25 years of burying Bray Wyatt. We're going to talk about the pretty predictable tournament outcome. But before we do that, every week I have a comedian who is a fan of wrestling on the show to discuss wrestling with me. All comedians talking about wrestling. And this week, again, no exception, we have a really funny comedian, Mr. Zach Broussard. Zach is an amazing comedian from UCB Theater. He just finished up writing on The Middle of the Night Show, which is airing now on MTV, and has The Miz on it. Most importantly, there is a Miz episode. Zach, how are you?
I'm doing great. There is a Miz episode. I want you to know that I specifically got to write wrestling bits for The Miz, and it was a highlight of
my life. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, did he like that?
I found out that he was very pumped about one of the things. I even got to write a bit where a bunch of UCBW guys who we know got to, I wrote a bit where, because the whole thing is you wake up a celebrity in bed.
Well, UCBW, let's explain what that is for many, many listeners. UCBW is a show that me and Zach performed on in New York for a very long time at the UCB Theater, which was the UCB Wrestling League, hence the W.
The W.
Which I guess was Upright Citizens Brigade Wrestling. I actually never thought about what
that
was.
Not really great.
It was just UCBW, and we just did comedy wrestling between improv shows.
Still not great wrestling, but not, you know, not much worse than current real wrestling. for the Miz episode, the whole idea is we wake up a celebrity and they have to like host a late night show. And one of the things we did was we woke up the Miz, and in his cue cards, he was like, "Do you want to have a pillow fight?" Which is very lame.
Yeah.
But then when he agreed, we had two wrestlers come in. With like one guy was America Joe with a pillow, and it was Eddie Dunn. And then I wrote in a luchador named Lucha Fedora, just a luchador wearing a fedora.
So they had a pillow fight.
They had pillows, and like the luchador flipped around with his pillow, and I think they fought the Miz, which is pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty fun.
That is cool.
Yeah,
well, I dig that.
That's a good.
That's awesome. How long have you been watching wrestling? What role has wrestling played in your life? I don't know. What do you think about wrestling when it comes to Zach Broussard?
I think it's pretty pivotal. I think, I came into watching wrestling in the late 90s, you know, Attitude Era, all that stuff. I guess slightly before, I actually was, like, pretty into, like, WCW, like, classic WCW stuff. And then
this is a continuous thing on the show.
Yeah.
Is that everybody was a WCW guy, and I always hated WCW.
I watched WWF when I was a kid, and I remember it being, like, real cheesy. Something about 80s wrestling, WWF felt cheesy, and then I think that WCW did a good job of just making it seem, like, a little flashier.
Yeah.
And so I was, like, 11. It was exciting.
Yeah, no.
Then the Monday Night Wars.
It's a valid experience.
I mean, the Monday Night Wars happened throughout my teenage years, and that feels like I was the kid who hosted pay-per-views. Like kids, like my mom would order it, and kids would have to come over with $5.
You know,
and we'd get order pizza.
We and my friends always did that. In my same group of friends, you know, Jay Shaz, my friend Jason Shapiro, who I'm calling right now, our East Coast contributor, because he sends me emails, because now he knows we do the podcast, and he sends me long emails, and he's like, basically trying to get me to
quote about the podcast.
Yeah, he wants me to quote about the podcast, and I'm going to. He's got some good insight about wrestling.
It is a fun idea of just answering fan mail and it always being from Jason.
He's the one guy. My best friend since I'm a kid. We would always watch pay-per-views together. We would all go to someone's house and like throw money in a pot. You know, and at that time we were all young. I'm talking about during Attitude Era. We're in high school, middle school, and it was like, okay, we're all throwing $5. One guy would host it. But yeah, like recently in the past, like I remember like 5 years ago, maybe it was more than that already. We went to one of our friend's house. I won't mention this guy's name. And at the end, we all watched Royal Rumble. At the end, he was like, "All right, everyone, like throwing $5." And I was like, "I think we're a little too old to pay for it." But at the same time, to his credit, so they're expensive.
They're super expensive.
They're expensive.
And
so we all
debatably not maybe not worth it. And so it's sort
yeah,
of like,
definitely not always worth it.
It takes the sting out of it.
They're always worth it to watch together. Yeah. That was the cool thing about the models, that it did force you to get together. Now, it's unrealistic. Literally, my best two friends, like the three of us, watch wrestling. One's in San Francisco, one's in New York, yeah. and I'm in L.A. And so we all watch on the network, and it's like, we were just chatting about how it's nice that the network allows us all to watch the pay-per-view mm-hmm. without feeling like, we just wouldn't watch it. I wouldn't spend $60 on it.
No, absolutely not.
There's just no way.
It's just not that good.
No.
It's just not that good. Raw is great because it's just on TV and it's fine.
Yeah.
And you can like shit on it and whatever. But something about paying for something that you're just going to be pissed off at really doesn't work.
Yeah, rarely will you ever have the feeling of like, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
And at this time, I'm actually used to watching wrestling with spoilers, like with already knowing what happens. I'm so used to that just because I always accidentally go on Twitter and, you know, get it spoiled. But yeah, so you've been watching wrestling since you're a kid.
I watched it as a kid, and I think, you know, in college, I sort of drifted out. I feel like some point when I felt like, yeah, it just felt like they kind of lost something.
Right.
Something toward, like, the early 2000s.
Yeah, that's
But
funny.
I think in the past, like, 5 years, I'm, like, casually back in it. I like it. I'm in a weird spot where, like, I watch semi-regularly, but I've gone to the last two WrestleManias. Like, I've flown to
We watched at WrestleMania. We met up.
Yeah.
And we have a great picture. Up there in Levi's
great.
Stadium.
I think Cena's in the back.
Yeah, Cena's in the back. Ronda Rousey's in the back.
Very fun.
The Rock
though.
Popped
They're
in. Just a, yeah.
Yeah, we were in the nosebleed seats, me and my girlfriend, and we snuck down to visit Dan and the expensive
I had
seats.
The really expensive Hulu.
Hulu
seats.
Oh, Hulu branded seats.
Yeah.
You get to keep a seat, like WrestleMania style, but it just says Hulu on it.
Yeah, it says Hulu on it. We were on the ramp, so one of the creepiest things I saw at Mania, we were on the ramp, not the rest, we were on the opposite ramp. So basically like the celebrity entrance ramp.
Yes.
Not the wrestling entrance ramp,
which is
the better ramp.
Yeah.
I don't need to see like Maria Menounos. You know, but we were on the other ramp and it was you just see weird stuff. Like Ronda Rousey walked by and we're like, Ronda, she was like, what up? It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
One of the things really weird is that Hogan walked by with his wife and his daughter in like both on his arms, him in the center, and then holding his arm, and they were like very decked out. You know, they were basically like, and
just for reference, is this before or after? This is before his big meltdown.
This was way pre the meltdown. I mean, he's always in a perpetual state of meltdown.
Yeah, but before the big one.
Yes,
yeah.
But yes, this was Mania last year.
And what a good way to go out, like to be completely decked out, wearing a boa of some sort. It's like nothing can ever take this guy down.
Yeah, it was weird.
There's something up with Hogan where, like, him and his wife are both now dating people that look like their own children. And so, like, he just wants to fuck his daughter and she just wants to fuck her son. It's very weird.
It's definitely weird. I mean, they're all, like, platinum blonde out.
I think that's just what Florida's like.
That's what Florida's like, and that's what is attractive in the wrestling world.
Yeah,
like, no wrestlers want to bang Paige.
They're all like, wrestling fans are attracted to Paige because she's the only one that sort of looks like a normal
woman. Right. And they kind of like, they treat Paige like she has this fringe look, like this bizarre, and she's just kind of like a hot chick.
I mean, that's sort of the appeal of like a Kevin Owens, is that he looks like he could be your cousin.
Oh, man. I love Kevin Owens.
Yeah, he does look like a cousin,
right? All
right, like,
let's get into this week in wrestling, because I have to cut it off at some point. Because literally, that's why I started this podcast, is because it's a never-ending pit of discussion. great. So, I mean, Sheamus.
Oh,
let's get into the cash-in. Survivor Series was on Sunday. Sheamus cashes in at the last minute there. So how do you feel about... Well, let's discuss it. It's how do you attack it? I mean, how do you feel about Sheamus winning the championship? But I don't think Sheamus winning the championship is a good question. That's not how it is.
How do you feel about
Reigns being Raw, winning the championship, staying face, and having Sheamus take it?
Because they really had two options. But I like the idea of him being robbed. I really just think Sheamus is, like, not a bad guy. They keep trying to push Sheamus as this, like, bully bad guy, and he's, like, way too silly.
Well, that's 100%. Man, I already feel this conversation veering. I have so many points. But yes, you're right. And that's my point.
He's just stupid. And he's just
He acts stupid. He shouldn't, though. Like, what he should do, it's worked for him way in the past, is just be like a silent enforcer. Though I will say that on this podcast, we've talked about Reigns being a silent enforcer. And Sheamus. And I don't know how you're... But we just want all these guys to shut up. But Sheamus, if he wants to be heel, he needs to kind of just, like, be... Well, you know, if you want to be the authority's muscle.
Shut the fuck up.
Then just shut up. But he comes out there on Raw. So he wins we'll go right back to this.
Weird beard
braids. He wins on Raw. He wins and he comes out on Raw and he cuts maybe one of the worst post-winning a championship promos I've ever seen. These bunch of scripted lines, like jokes. He rattled off like five jokes.
He did stand up.
He was like doing stand up, like horrible stand up to no response. His first joke, JBL said already. His first line was like Roman Reigns got to. I'm not even gonna try the accent.
Do it. He was like, commit to it. If you do it at the same time, is it embarrassing?
Yeah, I'll try.
Roman Reigns
got to the top. Of the mountain.
It's a great
horrible.
Band is Barrett, actually.
Yeah, it's a great band is Barrett. Roman Reigns got to the top of the mountain, but I brogue kicked him off. But literally, JBL, right before he came out, said, like, he got to the summit, but he got brogue kicked off.
And they just send out these, like, generic lines for them to say, and they just, like...
And they just repeated it, so that killed that joke. But the audience didn't hear it, because they don't hear the announcers. So even for them, it didn't hit. And then he followed that up with... another horrible line about, the Roman Empire lasted, well, you know, however long Empire lasted. I don't have that historical knowledge. I'm a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
But he's like, but then the Roman Reigns lasted 5 minutes and 15 seconds. And you're
it's
like,
so groany.
It just was just like, what did you want us to do? Go like, oh!
But like,
I almost felt like we should have had some what's between it. Just
there's got to be a better heel than that guy who can just like, they actually, the one thing they did that worked is that, so I'm watching Raw last night, and, like, they make, people are cheering for Reigns.
Well,
I mean,
so,
it kind of works.
So, Zach, so, yes. And they've spent so much time and resources.
It was the very first time it worked.
And like, okay, they robbed him at Mania.
Yeah.
And then they robbed him here at Survivor Series. They robbed him when Reigns, like, Rollins, he's such a man scorned. But two things he doesn't do. He doesn't act angry enough. And I guess he's supposed to be like a face. But he should be like, want what's mine. But he just can't. His acting is so bad.
And, he also has like the biggest smile in the world.
Right.
There's something about him having like the biggest smile. And he's just got this like sweet thing about him. That is just like, you don't buy anything he's doing. It's just...
And, right. This is a credit to Jason Shapiro, our Eastcourt contributor.
Yeah.
And he was saying...
Fan mail.
Yeah, from our fan mail Gmail account, which is not up yet.
The only person who
it's hard to
email.
Open a Gmail.
Yeah, it's hard.
But his point was that when they did this for Daniel Bryan, when they kept holding back Daniel Bryan and not getting... It worked because the audience wanted Daniel Bryan. To do it. And they're treating Reigns like Daniel Bryan. Like, he's, like, been wrong. But he's, like, he's privileged with the greatest look. He's a gorgeous man. He's huge. He's the right size. He's more of just, like, a privileged guy in wrestling world. Not privileged in the sense of, like, not, like, white privilege.
The Rock's cousin.
Yeah.
You don't get more
privileged. Yeah, he wins the Rumble, and he comes out, and The Rock comes out, puts his hand up. He's not that. So it's not going to work. He's different. So they're just trying to like play that angle, even that. But I will say is that the Sheamus win, two things about it: execution of it, just physically, like how it laid out was great. Like the confetti all rolling down, there was so much confetti there, and Triple H came out. He came out and Reigns speared him, and then Sheamus went for the brogue kick off camera, like kicked in. Like his entrance music didn't hit, so that's why I didn't see it coming. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, he kicked him. I like that he kicked out. And the fact that Sheamus wins is cool. I'm a sucker for the cash-in.
Yeah.
Like, whenever somebody cashes in, it's amazing. At WrestleMania, when Rollins cashed in, I took my shirt off and went insane. Everyone in my section was yelling at me.
It was awesome.
But obviously, that was way better because, I mean, you know.
Also, Rollins,
is amazing. Yeah, Rollins is just great wrestler.
Great.
And he last year was his year.
Yeah.
So him winning at Mania made sense. Like, Reigns was the wrong guy. to win the belt.
I also think that Reigns was intended to win going in. They just realized he wasn't there yet. Like, the crowd wasn't behind
him. Yeah, well, that's what happened at Rumble. They thought he was over.
Like, right now, I mean, basically with, like, so many people out, like, why not let him have the run that he's owed?
It's the timing's decent because there's enough time to shift and bend, you know, and make it okay. But the thing that they're doing that is amazing is that Sheamus is one guy that people like less than Roman Reigns.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And, but that's what's holding wrestling back, because you're like, well, how come Kevin Owens can't win? All these guys. Because literally every single wrestler who would be in championship contention, including Del Rio, would be the face against Roman Reigns no matter what
they
do.
That's amazing.
Except for Sheamus. And that's, I like to think, even though there's no way this is possible because all this happened because of a Rollins injury, I like to think that's why they gave Sheamus the Money in the Bank, that they're that calculated, but there's no way they are.
Yeah, they've done nothing to show that they're that intelligent. But Sheamus is terrible.
He's so bad.
He's also hard to look at. He's just a disgusting white blob.
Yeah, and also, the "you look stupid" chant is not the right kind of heat. Like, it's like, hey, man, it's heat. Like, Sasha, they call her Ratchet. Like, that's bad because it means you're, like, ugly, I think, right? Yeah. But like, no. They're saying you look stupid because they're being like, this isn't working.
This is a bad bit.
Which is
it's
different.
It's a bad bit.
Yeah, and they said it to him the first time he showed up, which is the day after Mania last year. He did his heel turn. I was there at San Jose.
What happened when they just started letting him talk so much?
Sheamus?
I don't get that.
Well, actually, he's been on the other thing is that they didn't really set this up. Although cashing in, you don't need to set up that much. Cashing in has a precedent of just being like, you know, it's almost better to like hide him a little bit.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. The thing that makes sense is that Sheamus is a heavyweight. He's a guy when he's holding the belt, you're like, he's the right size.
Yeah.
He's had it before.
Do kids like him?
No.
I don't feel like
he's not over.
I feel like there's some
capacity.
People where like,
and he's not over as a heel even.
Yeah, people just don't have an opinion. They just like he
just
kind of sucks.
And they're going into TLC, Sheamus, Reigns, for the belt, and you're like, that's a pay-per-view I would never buy. They're lucky they have the network model.
Yeah, because it's insane.
No, it's bad. So in that way it's smart. But let's talk about the tournament in general. Right? A lot of great matches.
Great matches.
But again, it's the same thing I said last week, is that the tournament, the flaw of that tournament was that the outcome was very predictable. Like, you knew it was going to be Reigns-Ambrose, and Reigns-Ambrose, all the matches were great on Survivor Series. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed them. Not all of them. Sorry. I'm talking about the tournament matches. Some of the matches were straight up terrible.
Yeah,
like, Paige-Charlotte was, I mean, a real snooze fest. And Charlotte, I mean, whatever, I'm jumping around, but she was a more exciting wrestler in NXT, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happened. She used to flip, right? Did she used to do flips in NXT? Did you ever see her do a flip?
She doesn't have to flip it anymore.
She doesn't.
It's in her contract.
Yeah, she's not allowed to flip.
She's paid slightly less, but she doesn't have to flip, and that's the deal.
Though, I will say something and then I'll get back on track. It's slightly misogynistic, but I don't think it is.
Uh-oh.
I find it interesting as a performer.
I'll tell
and
you
someone
who
goes under the is the makeup in WWE, like when you get to the main roster, is significantly better than NXT. Charlotte looks great. Like they have her, they make her look.
She's like a, she's like
pretty, like very, very attractive, even though she's wrestling, which I imagine is tough because you sweat.
Think is a bad thing, right? Is it weird that I feel like all the female wrestlers
the
are
Divas
attractive?
Revolution.
Yeah, the whole thing is like the reason why wrestling's fun is like you. There's like a gross guy fighting like a pretty guy sometimes.
Yeah.
You don't have that in the Divas at all, really. Like once like Vicky Guerrero is out of the game, like, you lose any of like I want to see like a very butch woman come in and beat up some pretty girls.
It's the same thing in Hollywood. It's something that never changes no matter how much
we
pretend.
They're all pretty,
like,
but you
Lena
lose.
Dunham pops up and then everyone's like, no, everything's changing. You're like, no, because people have too much money on the line.
I
want
to see, like, a real landscape of women fighting.
I 100% agree.
Yeah. I just think that would be interesting. They're good wrestlers.
Yeah.
And you know they exist.
It's sexist. Like, some of the best wrestlers, male wrestlers, and we don't even talk about
that. Like, where's the there's got to be another China somewhere.
Right.
I want to see a fucking ripped woman.
There's more, like, mean-looking women.
Exactly.
There's Tamina, but I don't really know what her deal is.
Yeah.
You're sliding back a little bit. But I think, all right, back to the tournament.
Yeah,
we can talk about this. If we jump around, again, so much to say. But the tournament, you know, somebody said to me that I was talking to before the pay-per-view, you know, I bumped, this is just funny, like, socially.
Yeah.
You know, I got my guys. I got my guys who, like, when I see them, we're going into wrestling right away. I barely have anything else to say to these guys, you know?
I know these guys.
So I bumped into a dude at this party, and I was like, well, I was like, if you're talking about the tournament, you're talking about the Ambrose-Owens match, and he was like, well, he's thinking Owens is going over. And I was like, you think that Owens is beating Ambrose? Like, you're insane.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way they're gonna go Ambrose Reigns like that. They're predictable like that. That's it. They know that that's the match.
They want to give you the slightest bit of doubt that Reigns won't win, even though he definitely will.
Yeah,
and it's so stupid.
And last week, gun to the head, someone was like, "Who's winning this tournament and how?" And I was like, "Reigns is gonna win as a face," and. We were like, no, he's going to heel turn. There was a lot of speculation.
Everybody wants a heel turn, but they just can't.
There was a lot of speculation about how this pay-per-view could end. A lot of people were saying because Triple H was teasing this thing about, like, hey, the next, you know, he was like, oh, who wants to sign with the Authority? Like, who wants to be the Authority guy?
Oh, like, yeah. Whoever's that'd be so great.
Yeah, so it was like, he went on to everybody and Reigns turned him down. A lot of people were like, oh, he's going to accept, you know, he's going to turn on Ambrose there and then go heel. Or the vice versa. Ambrose will go heel. And then we also set up the fact that all the Shield hate each other now, which is interesting for something down the line. A lot of speculation about that. But really what it turned out to is that they did exactly what I thought, which is Reigns, as a face, winning. But they did find a way because they did acknowledge that him as a champion is still doesn't feel ready, which is insane. He won the Royal Rumble, main event in WrestleMania, and he's still not ready. It's like, guys,
just make it.
Just change something.
Yeah.
Even change his costume. Put him in undies.
Yeah. Like, make him stop wearing like a bulletproof vest.
Yeah. Or have him acknowledge anything they do that's real. Something that Kofi Kingston did this week, where he was like, "This is separate from my character." He said that and he was like, "I hate country music," and it was like, "Oh wow, that's cool."
Really fun.
It was really funny. You know, they hate that because it's breaking kayfabe. But maybe Reigns could just be like, "Look, I'm not a talker. I'm not gonna get on this mic and blow you away. It's not what I do. But I wrestle good matches. I'm strong as fuck." Like, something like that.
Yeah.
Follow a little bit of the Punk model where you're just honest. But still, it's amazing how even after what CM Punk did and what Daniel Bryan did with their being honest.
Yeah.
These guys are still too scared to do it. Or Vince is just too scared to do it.
Yeah, I guess Rain sells just enough stuff where they're like, eh, we'll just keep it.
Well, I was at Hell in the Cell in the Staples Center. And he was pretty over. There was a lot of his merch floating around. It's kind of shocking.
Yeah.
I do think that from all the people I speak to, like the comedians who are like cynical and artistic, really.
Yeah,
that's like, we expect more from this product because we expect a lot from ourselves also.
We want to be intrigued,
That we forget that people accept what comes out them. Like, Reigns, and that's how they manipulate people. So like, if we put Sheamus over, well, then they have to root for Reigns.
Yeah. It's really what they're doing. And you know what? It's going to work.
It's going to work.
It's going to work because people really hate Sheamus.
It's going to work.
He's the worst.
So those matches were good. I thought Ambrose-Owens was my favorite match of the night in the pay-per-view. I'm just a sucker for Kevin Owens.
He's great.
I don't care what Melissa Joan Hart says. Did you hear about that?
No,
Melissa Joan Hart tweeted that Kevin Owens is a lazy wrestler, which was absolute insanity.
What does that even mean?
I think she
does.
Was,
I will say Kevin Owens has a very unexpressive face. You know what I mean? Kevin Owens has this like look on his face that he's just sort of like blasé about the whole thing. And I think that's what I like about
him. Yeah,
he
does have
sort of like a guy who's showing up at work.
Yeah.
And I like that. I think that's really cool.
Well,
he's definitely not overacting. And I think that most wrestlers are, and I think that's what's intriguing to people
He's an indie talent through and through.
Yeah.
But because of that, he also is the most exciting wrestler. Mm-hmm. Like, you think about it, he was in NXT for 4 months or something like that before he went to main roster. So he trained at the Performance Center for, max 6 months.
Yeah.
And he did over 10 years on the indie scene. Like, you know, he was a very successful independent wrestler. He did PWG, like, everything. So he's mainly trained to be not on camera.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I find really cool about him, the way he performs. He's not over the top. He's not, like, corny.
They fucking need more guys like that.
Yeah.
Right now, they just... I mean, can we just briefly talk about whatever the hell Tyler Breeze is?
Well, yes, we can get to Tyler Breeze, definitely. But then let's come back to... Wait, yes, let's talk about Tyler Breeze.
I just think
so, well, Tyler Breeze Ziggler happened at Survivor Series. Breeze went over, which I thought he would.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that I have a major Ziggler bias.
Same.
Yeah, so he's the man. So I will never say anything bad about Ziggler. Nor do I have anything bad to say. I think if they get, I say it every week, if they push Ziggler, everyone will be like, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It makes sense. When you keep guys down, it feels like they're mid-card guys. A lot, you know, they push Reigns and it eventually works. Why not push good wrestlers? That'll work even easier.
Yeah.
But, yes, so... Tyler Breeze. What do you feel about Tyler Breeze?
I just don't understand what the hell's going on.
Did you watch him in NXT?
A little. Yeah,
right.
Not tons. But I just feel like I'd lump him into the same group as, like, the Adam Rose of the world. Like, just,
yeah.
Like, guys who are just, like, doing, like, an aimless, like, early 90s gimmick that doesn't make sense in our current
world. Makes you locked in the mid-card.
Yeah, there's just, like, because at least Ziggler, because... Some would say that, I guess they're trying to say that Ziggler and Breeze are similar. I think in WWE's mind they are, but like Ziggler's clearly doing like a weirdly ironic 80s thing that's like really fun and silly.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they let him like ham it up.
Well, our East Coast contributor, Jason Shapiro, he wrote an email to me when he was describing, he gave me his rundown on the pay-per-view. One thing he says is that Ziggler's gimmick is that he's a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
And he was like,
that's like
that was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, Ziggler's gimmick is that he actually is a wrestler. What everyone's gimmick now is that they're not a professional wrestler.
Yes.
And so he dresses up like a wrestler. Whereas, like, Breeze is like, I guess his gimmick is that he's a millennial. But he doesn't dress like a millennial. He dresses like a rocker.
What's
like
that?
One of the rockers?
Yeah.
So here's my pitch for Breeze. Listen to my pitch for Breeze.
Right,
okay? My pitch for Breeze is that he actually dresses like millennial. He dresses like Justin Bieber. Come to the ring in like one of those dumb hats.
And get your ass beat.
Yeah. Because he's also smaller. He's smaller than the other guys. Tell him to come out and be like a little bitch. But right now he's dressed stupid.
He just looks like a shitty wrestler.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like... He's not doing a gimmick. He just looks like a bad wrestler.
He looks like a shitty wrestler.
Yeah.
Now, I see why they put him over Ziggler, because they're like, he's new, and like, you know, that's nice of Ziggler to go down for him.
But nobody likes this guy.
But
there's no way.
He's definitely falling flat. And
well, he doesn't have to.
There's not really much to say. I just think he's
dressed
like Bieber.
Yeah, I definitely think that would be way... They don't do enough, and that's... What's weird is they just don't do enough of, like... cultural thing. They don't nail the cultural things well anymore.
Everything is a little bit is vague right now. Everything's a little is broad. Like everyone's gimmick is super broad. And so like let's go back a step and talk about Ambrose.
Yeah.
Right? Where like he doesn't hit for me
at
all. Now, I recognize that he's good. I'll say one thing is that I'm starting a list of guys who need to get bigger. Now, I know I sound Vince-esque.
Physically bigger?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I know I sound Vince-esque. People don't like this. I'm into the look of professional wrestlers.
Yeah.
And like, a guy like Ziggler looks great.
Yeah,
that's a guy who's like, hey, all right, I'm not the most, I'm not bodybuilder side. I'm athletic build, but I'm shredded and have abs and I look like the way I wrestle. He's Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Right?
Shawn Michaels,
he's Shawn Michaels. Where there's a few guys where I put him in this category of like, need to get bigger. Ambrose. I've always hated his costume. He's wearing, like, jeans, straight up fucking jeans, and a wife beater. And I'm like, dude, you gotta dress more like a wrestler.
I disagree.
Okay, that's great. I love it. Hot take. So,
hot
I would say that when he had the wife beater off in Survivor Series, I like that he didn't change. Like, he did two matches, he came back, his wife beater was ripped, he just kept it ripped.
Yeah.
It was in the same exact position it was. But he looked skinny. He looked too small.
Yeah. But I mean, his appeal is the same as Owens. Like, Owens is bigger, obviously, because he's like kind of like
he's the other guy on my list.
He's a little bit of a chunky monkey.
I like that Owens is chunky. I'm going to let you speak in a second.
And
he could use to get his arms more bigger.
He could use
to be more, like, jacked.
Brawny.
But he could,
like
brawny.
Where
instead of just being like, I'm,
I feel like wrestling is missing those guys where it's just like, you don't have to be a cut guy, but you have to be brawny. Like, you have to look big. to people in the stands. And but I don't know if Ambrose does.
People hate that opinion. That's me being a little superficial. Anyway,
as opposed to the costumes and that stuff, I think that Ambrose is one of the few guys they're nailing where they're letting him just wear like street clothes, and so it like fits into the character of him just being like a fucking normal guy, and he's the best chance of being like this generation's like Roddy Piper or something like that. Where like
sure,
Tyler
that's
Breeze,
what he is.
Yeah,
that is what he is. Yeah. I agree.
Tyler Breeze is a guy where it's sort of the exact opposite of your point, which is he needs to wear like. He needs to wear skinny jeans and wear, like, annoying... Like, he needs to wear annoying street clothes.
He needs to wear what Batista wears.
Yeah. Like Batista should dress like a wrestler.
And Batista should dress like a wrestler. Well, Batista has the benefit of having such an amazing physique, a wrestling physique, that he can wear undies, which is the ultimate. I'm a huge fan of the undies.
Yeah.
I think you should be, like, wearing the little tights, and you should be jacked up where you're, like, everyone's... Randy Orton looks
nailing
like a professional wrestler. Randy Orton is like, when he wins a belt, you go, all right, he's a little boring, but even Sheamus. Even Sheamus, you know, you can't really deny it because you're like, he looks jacked. He's got stupid face stuff going on right now.
They should do a weird shave the beard match where like loser loses.
I actually don't want to shave the Mohawk's kind of cool, but the beard.
Mohawk's fine, yeah, but you're braiding
your
beard.
You're braiding the beard. It's
insane.
It's too many
elements. Like a bored teen daughter.
But if he's going for the gimmick of being like a Irish warrior, I guess he's going for kind of like, it feels more Scottish, not that I know what I'm talking about.
I don't either, but it's
but
like
then
a shitty Braveheart thing.
Braveheart, right? Yeah. Then he should just stay angry and not make jokes.
Yeah.
You gotta choose.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, they don't work on acting enough in wrestling.
Yeah, they
that's
really
the thing that's
don't.
Crazy.
And they just, like, the wrong guys are doing comedy. I think that, like, I think New Day, they should be doing comedy, they're so funny.
Yeah.
They're, like, kind of the highlight of wrestling.
Definitely. Like, so, we're going to get into New Day right away, although we haven't talked about Taker at all, but we will in 25 years of Taker.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
25 years, golden years. So I want to. So Ambrose, he's working for you because you like that he's.
Yeah, I like
him. A badass.
You think I mean, I don't think he's getting.
It feels organic to you.
Yeah, it feels organic. I think it's like, I think it's the most honest thing to who he is. Like, I don't think he can do much else.
Yeah,
I think you're right, but I'd like to see him. Like, I'd like just want to see all those guys look like '80s men. You know what I mean? Like, all those guys were just like brawnier, but they were on steroids, and that seems like an unrealistic thing to want.
It definitely is unrealistic. It definitely, like, you know, it's definitely frustrating for me to say. And I feel their pain because they also don't want to juice their faces off. But I also like big wrestlers. Like, I like them to be jacked
up.
But
I also hate Ryback, and I don't know how to...
Well, Ryback, because he dresses like a small wrestler.
Yeah.
It's, a lot of Ryback is costume.
Yeah. Oh, it's also his eyes. He has crazy eyes that are just, like, silly.
I mean, for me, it's costume. I know that sounds crazy, but... He actually has, like, that, he never expresses his gimmick well. He has this whole, like, the secret positive thinking thing going, which is actually, could be cool if he actually could express it.
He made that a real game he played.
Yeah, but he's actually, the thing about Ryback is he just doesn't work, but he really works really hard, and he's, and, like, when he gets on the mic, he's very prepared, and it feels fluid. He actually like does a. I hate knocking Ryback, and I don't like him.
A good wrestler.
He works really hard, and he's like, "Oh, I don't want to look the other guys. I have a look. He is jacked up. He's got a great wrestling. It just doesn't work. Like, it's like sorry.
Some people just don't have it.
Yeah,
you know?
He just doesn't have it. But, So cool, Ambrose. I mean, look, I like Ambrose. I like Ambrose. If Ambrose won the title, I would have been fine with that over Reigns.
Well, I think hopefully they're setting up a thing where if they all hate each other. That when Reigns wins the title, which he will, is that hopefully they can give Ambrose a real shot.
But still, again, this was their time to push new talent. Cena's out, Orton's out, Daniel Bryan's out. All these guys are out, so my point was, these guys can lose. Like, all the guys now are in the fair game to lose.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, when Cena's there, you gotta watch him losing. When Orton's there, you gotta watch him losing. When Rollins is there, you gotta watch these guys losing, although... They love to have Rollins, like, snake wins and whatever. That's a whole other thing. It's in the past. Rollins is dead right now.
He's
so,
dead.
Yeah, storyline dead. But, so, this was a cool time. But still, they found a way to take Reigns up against an old talent, Sheamus.
Yeah.
They found a way to make it... Sheamus Rollins has the same marketability of Owens... Sheamus Reigns is the same markability as Owens Reigns.
Yeah.
Actually, way less. People want to see Owens Reigns more. I would argue more.
But that would make him, that would make Reigns like the heel big time, right? Even though.
Again, that's my point. You can't do it because they're trying to make him a face. They will just not.
They're committed to it. And I think they're, in a weird way, they're right because he still has a lot of career left.
Yeah.
And then when he's older, he's going to have to, like, the only way he's going to be marketable is if he starts fucking shit up.
Anyway, let's shift gears to the dead man.
Dead man.
To the dead man. Under 25 years of The Undertaker. Do you have a favorite Undertaker memory? Let's go back in our bank.
I'm going classic American Badass Undertaker.
So when the door opened at Survivor Series and they showed every iteration of Undertaker, when they showed American Badass, which is
I am an American Badass! Yeah. I just want to see him on his hog riding. we've seen Undertaker, personify death. But when he's on that hog, man, he's really living. And that's what I like about Undertaker.
Did you actually like Undertaker when he was the American Badass?
No, I hate it. But I think it's just, I like that he was doing something I think he wanted to do.
In hindsight, it's cool because it was like, it just was like a break from what he was doing. But during it, it was horrible. Really brutal. But at the same time, if you remember, what he was doing was, he was drowning.
He was drowning.
It was not working for him at all.
And I mean, I think what made that particularly sad is that felt like the end for him. Because he was already pretty old at that point. And it seemed like his last leg, and they were like, we're going to make him a biker guy.
Yeah.
And that was sad. But now it seems fun, because he's gone on to have like a long
time. My actual favorite Taker run is kind of really late in his career. I don't know what year I'm going to forget, but just probably like 2008 to 2012. Like when he was wrestling, and it was strictly his WrestleMania matches, which is mainly what he was around for.
Yeah,
and he like his Shawn Michaels 2 matches in a row; those were great. Just watching him in the Mania run, where we really started hyping up the streak and just being like, "Oh, the streak is going." That was when I was the most excited about Undertaker.
Yeah,
because even when I was a kid, I didn't like him that much because he was just like putting all my favorite wrestlers in body bags. You know what I mean? And it was like I said this on my first show, which is. I saw 1991 Nassau Coliseum. I saw Undertaker zip Ultimate Warrior into a body bag, I have pictures of it. That's at the time I had a throwaway camera, and I was one of the worst photographers of all time. I just snap. So it's Undertaker like moving like a millimeter each picture.
Oh, that's fucking.
But you could probably make it into a flip book of like him zipping up the Undertaker, the Ultimate Warrior. But I loved the Ultimate Warrior.
What a great character for wrestling. It's pretty amazing.
And Paul Bearer also, that's when he dipped, and then he had to find, like, the solo Taker.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, Taker's amazing. Let's talk about Taker, the Survivor Series match. Taker, Kane, Brothers of Destruction. I mean, Kane, I always think, tanks Taker a little bit. Like, seeing them together is, like...
Well, you're just reminded of, like, low points in his storyline.
Well, Kane
just, like...
was the... recently was just like the director's operations
guy.
And like a goofy.
How are they going back and forth? I don't get how they do that with Kane.
Well, you might have missed a period where like they gave like 2 months ago they gave Kane a psychic evaluation.
Oh no! Because
he was showing up as the Demon Kane and also regular Kane, but he was showing up to work with a mug and like being really chipper, and they're like, he checks out, he's totally normal, but then like. Then, like, Rollins would be dragged into the ring and it'd be like, he can't control himself. Anyway, point is that we just saw him be a goof. So it kind of, like, kills the novelty of Taker, especially with Taker being around so much. But their entrance was really cool. Kane came out first and then he did his arm thing where he raises his arms up and then threw him down. And then they had, like, the Taker logos, you know, his, like, weird crosses.
Yeah.
Go on fire, and then, like, Taker came out, and they opened the door and showed every iteration. It was definitely cool. It's always cool to see Undertaker enter. I've seen it live so many times.
Second, Undertaker entrances are always the best, and they're only second to current Triple H entrances, which is the... him coming out on a throne.
He embarrasses himself every WrestleMania.
I love it so much. But I love it because it's basically your wheel... It's, like, the most bold entrance to get your ass kicked.
Triple H has a... real flair for the theatrics. It's almost amazing. Like a theater man.
Yeah.
You know, like, he, and that's like, and you see it in NXT. NXT's like, he's very hands-on about, like, lighting, like this, that. Like, he's a director, almost.
Yeah.
He's like a stage director. It reminds me, like, of, really like, doing, like, Mod Night or something at UCB. Like, because they have that, like, little theater in Full Sail. It's, like, 400 capacity. And he's, I respect it. I dig it. It's just that his Mania entrance last year, the Terminator one, was just atrocious.
Yeah.
That was so stupid.
Oh, that was really bad. I was thinking about WrestleMania before...
When he came up with the Vikings, we're like...
Yeah, that was so great. He was just, like, covered in chainmail.
Yeah.
On a throne, and it was just the best thing I've ever seen live.
I like it. It was. Like, I shit on it just because, like, old, I feel a little, like, embarrassed for him, but I also like it.
I think he still looks pretty good. It does.
He does it for us. I just feel, like, weird for him. Just because, again, you see him as... It's always weird they toe the line of suit and wrestler, and that's where we're in this weird stage right now, where it's like he can't commit to not wrestling, but it's like,
well, that's an easier turn than like Kane going from silly office, like,
yeah, because he's always still himself. He's like, always just like
evil
one
demon?
Rip away of like the suit. God. Yeah, but so yeah, Undertaker that match. You know, look, these matches are going like they're going. Again, same exact thing. Repeat every time. I don't know how much they Taker gains from winning that. I see how much Bray loses. I mean, Bray Wyatt can't win a match.
Bray Wyatt doesn't look cool anymore.
He does not look cool.
They ruined one of the best things they had going, which was like the potential to have a new Undertaker. They had the potential to have like someone who was creepy and
the
fun.
Cheating old Undertaker, like the Dark Knight returns, right? Like the Dark the comic
worst
book,
thing
the Frank
they ever
Miller.
Did is like. Convoluting their storylines. I mean, their only hope was to let Bray go over on Undertaker and like have his run start.
Yeah, they should just show Taker like breaking down. Like they do it in Batman, and it's always a huge hit when they show him breaking down. Right now, we're just pretending he's still strong. We're pretending that he didn't. He literally like botched. He was trying to give Luke Harper just a regular scoop slam, and he had to drop to his feet and then go into a DDT. It's like he's falling apart a little bit. Let's acknowledge it. It would be awesome if Taker's like, I still got it. And like, we know he doesn't. And it leads up to Mania with him breaking down. Like,
fucking.
It would be awesome. Like, have Bray Wyatt beat him. Have Bray Wyatt prove that he's the new one. And have him just be like, no, you're not. Keep coming back for more. More. It would be the most interesting Undertaker storyline ever. But right now, instead, we're just pretending he could still beat a young guy who's at the pinnacle, who's worked so hard to make this character. It's really selfish, honestly. Yeah. I don't know what goes on behind there. I don't know how much he said. I imagine Undertaker has say, but I know he didn't want to lose to Brock, and that turned out to be an amazing choice.
Yeah.
Because it made Brock Lesnar what he is now, which is what Undertaker kind of wants to still be.
Yeah.
He has a weird attitude. He must have some kind of weird attitude. I don't really understand.
He just has a lot of sway. I don't understand. Yeah. It just seems to be convoluted. Where do you think that storyline is heading?
It's headed nowhere, and that's what's frustrating about wrestling, is that they have a really bad grasp on story. Mm-hmm. And it's because they're always just at the edge of what they're just, it's day by day, last second, you know. We did a thing where they carried Kane and Undertaker backstage, and then they like, they carried him off after a match, and it was like, they just, you know, the next day they show up, they're, you know, I guess they just let him walk. And they're like, we tried to take your soul, it didn't work. You're like, wait, what? Like, just make this simpler. Just make it Bray Wyatt just being like, I'm the new... Literally say these words, in quotes.
Yeah.
I'm the new Undertaker.
Yeah.
I'm the new Kane.
Yeah.
You guys are obsolete old hags.
And let fucking bury the Undertaker.
Yes.
I want to see the Undertaker get buried
by
Bray Wyatt. And then everyone knows that Bray Wyatt is the new one. And then we're done.
They do it every time now. They try to fix Bray. They have Bray and Luke Harper, same tag team, come out on Raw, win a match against the Dudley Boys. And you're like, okay, doesn't matter. It doesn't make them look strong. He's lost every big match this year where I forget how much I liked him.
Yeah.
So they're good at juggling that for Cena and stuff, but I guess they're like, he's young enough to come back. But they might be right, but it doesn't mean it's worth it.
Yeah.
What are you gaining by boosting up Undertaker? I mean, he's going to lose it at Mania. That's what they're thinking. If their thought process is that, like, Bray wins at Mania.
Is that the thought, that it's going to be them two at Mania?
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
If their thought process is that and then Bray wins, It still won't feel as good. But hey, no, I don't know what they're thinking.
Whatever.
So yeah, that's really all I have to say about Taker. It's cool that he's around. I'm liking that he's on this run right now.
Yeah,
for me,
fun. It's
just not acknowledging that he's losing a step is probably something he doesn't want to do, which I get it. But it's cool.
Way more interesting.
It's awesome story.
Yeah.
It works for Batman. That's all I have to say.
It also worked. Remember, like,
the best Batman comics
Mick Foley's,
are when he's on his downfall.
Mick Foley's last few years. I mean, part of his whole, like, gimmick was knowing that he was broken.
Right.
And, like, barely pulling it together. And, like, that people will rally around you more if you admit that you're not, like, infallible or something. Like, not
yeah.
perfect. That you could lose.
Right.
You could lose.
Yeah. I mean, Daniel Bryan's going to come back and... Well, I don't know if he's coming back, but I'm saying if he does come back, look, yeah. seems to be cleared. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think they were worried about him dying in the ring or something, you know. But Daniel Bryan, I don't know about dying, but he'll come back and the fact that he's so susceptible to injury will be like real. We're gonna all feel it. Anyway, let's go school. Like to wrap up, let's go through a few quick things from Raw. I mean, we missed some things on the pay per view. No, we hit it all.
It's fine.
We hit it all. We hit the main things. But let's talk about some things on Raw. So, cool. Sheamus came out, cut that horrible promo. We covered that. Oh, here's the thing. So the Authority, they need to clean up their... We're talking about storytelling.
Yeah.
They need to clean up their storytelling a little bit. Like, what are they going for? They used to be best for business, but they were lying. Now they're like, oh, we just want someone who will, like, listen to us. Like, what do they want from Sheamus? What are they going for?
It doesn't really make any sense.
Right?
It doesn't really make any sense.
I like that they solidified themselves as heels again with the Sheamus thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, we didn't even talk about Reigns speared Triple H, which was super heel at Survivor Series. But that's okay. It felt a little earned. He was angry.
Yeah.
He was riled up. It's cool. Not much to say. But what are they, I'd like to know what their goal is. Like, is their goal, like, hey, we want a champion? They used to say, like, Randy Orton was the face of WWE. And I got that. It's like, we want someone that we can put on magazines who will, like,
yes,
just do our bidding.
He's a wrestler. He's very much just, like, a cog in
yeah.
the machine.
But right now, do they want someone they want to be able to control the title? And we should act like, they should acknowledge what the stakes of are the title. I said it last week. It's like, when somebody has the title, what kind of control do they lose?
Nothing.
Just establish
what
that.
What are their stakes? What
yeah,
are their stakes?
Establish it. Show behind the scenes that, like, you know, this guy's going on Jimmy Fallon, like, and like, he will promote something they want, and
yeah.
that's a great way to promote it. He won't promote the video game. Talk about the video game.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, show how they're not a puppet for them. But instead, there's no puppeteering at all. It's just the same thing every week. You got a match against Sheamus. It's like, this isn't hard writing. It's very basic writing to make it better.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think that's where I butt heads with a lot of wrestling fans. And Stone Cold. They want more wrestling. And I think we don't need more wrestling.
No.
We need more story. Wrestling, when it tells stories, it's better. And they only fall into stories through the wrestling. And I think they can have wrestling and actual story.
It also ties in everything we're saying about, like, costuming and stuff like that. Where
yeah.
it's like if you have a lazy costume, you're not committing to your story.
Right.
And so you're going in, like, half-ass into your story, so nobody cares about, like, if Tyler Breeze was dressed as a shitty millennial, there'd be some investment in watching him win or lose.
Right.
Because you either identify or don't. You don't identify with a guy wearing, like, bright spandex and saying he's a millennial, because
right.
it's not. The reason why people were invested in, like, Raven,
right.
when he was, like, a grunge guy, was like, yeah, that looks like my cousin Chuck.
My cousin Kurt.
Yeah.
Cobain.
Yeah, they're all Kurt.
Yeah.
He was Kurt Cobain.
All right, talk quickly about New Day.
Yeah.
Rattle off these two things. Their promo, they're great. I don't know why Big E Langston is not in title contention.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we talked about this. Another one where it's on, like, they're a stable. They're a faction. They should be trying to get every belt.
Right. Yeah, they've been trying to do... They
collect all the belts. They have the tag belt, but right now they're just a tag team. They're in the tag team division.
That's exactly what they should be doing.
Yeah. Or even the IC belt, but Big E Langston, I don't know, he's huge. Why can't
he's good, too.
Why was he not in that tournament? I don't know. But that's old news already at this point. He should have been there. Their promo they cut was legitimately funny.
It was real funny.
It was a pretty good sketch.
It was so dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They came out in Nashville, Tennessee.
And made fun of
and shit on country music. So hard. And Kofi literally dropped the line that was like, this is separate from my character. Like, I actually hate this, which I said already. He came out, it was the 1 year anniversary. He had his hair in a unicorn horn. and then they sung.
In their minds.
It was amazing. They did like a Howard Stern esque like song where they're just like, let's use an example of a country song. And it was funny.
Yeah.
It's like, and they were like, I lost my girlfriend.
They're like fucking around on stage, like in the ring, the way like DX fucked around. It really feels
yeah. They're like the new DX.
They're like fucking with the crowd, fucking with the crowd, and it's just like, but unlike DX, they're not pushing them to actually go for real belts or anything like that.
Also,
and so that's like on WWE.
That is messed up.
It's messed up. Yeah. Man.
And DX was trying to get all the belts. That's what you're saying, right?
Like, let them fucking do it.
China had the IC belt. China had the IC belt.
Awesome.
Yeah. But like, when Big E screams, when he's like, he gets this such a great octave, like he overpowers everybody. It sounds like it hurts people's ears in the arena. It's so great. He, like, he flips out. I just think he could be a great heel
champion. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fun.
And with those guys around him, it's so funny. With the trombone, everything just works. It's unreal. I love it. I think it's so funny.
They're just having a lot of fun.
They're great. And they were so bad when they came out a year ago. They were just like, what are these guys? They're like, felt like weirdly racist. These are like gospel singers. Like, what do we do with all the black talent?
And they're really I wonder how much of that is them. It seems like it's really them. It seems like they're really having fun.
Yeah. They're definitely having fun. Do you ever watch Xavier Woods? Well, also, you didn't see this, I don't think, but Xavier Woods on Survivor Series did his hair like Elvis's hair.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing. It looked so good. Like, and Xavier Woods has a channel that I was watching. He has a YouTube channel where backstage he sets up Xbox or like PS4 or whatever, and they play video games with the other wrestlers.
It's so fun.
Yeah, and they some of them use their indie wrestling names as like who they are. They're called Neville Pac, which was his like indie talent name. Yeah. It's cool, but those guys are just awesome, and they got a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm.
Kofi is doing the best ever.
I mean,
I was never the biggest Kofi fan. He would just do his Money in the Bank spot and like Royal Rumble spots every year, and then that was it.
He would impress us some way. He would do some real crazy jump at a Royal Rumble.
Yeah. All right, Neville versus Mark Henry. Why did they, like, they treat, Neville won, and he won in a cool way, actually, because he pinned him, but Mark Henry kicked out, like, slightly too late. But they treated it like it was the biggest upset ever, and you're like,
Mark Henry's, like, 95 years old.
Yeah, of course Neville won. Then Mark Henry, like, shook his hand and was like, you're going to be good, kid. And you're like, I mean, what are we going to pretend, like, Mark Henry is anything?
It's kind of fun. Even before the match, they were like, you know, even Mark Henry on Twitter was saying how he was really impressed with Neville's athleticism.
Right.
And it's like, nobody needs that. We're fine.
Neville's awesome.
Yeah, everybody likes him. I think his ears are too big.
Yeah, maybe, well, he's...
If he's going to be a superhero, maybe just put him in a mask. Yeah. And I'd be fine with that.
Feel bad, but he can use a little earpin bag.
Just a pin bag. Maybe just also he can wear like a sweatband that like holds. You know what I mean? There's some options for him.
Well, I think he needs less accessorizing. Yeah, the cape is really stupid.
It's really insane,
especially when how great he was in NXT, and then they're like, let's throw a cape on him. I don't know why they thought that was a good idea, but
I just don't understand why they double down on these things.
I don't know. Last thing we'll talk about, and then we'll wrap it up is. The Paige-Charlotte feud, quickly. I kind of like Paige showing that clip of Charlotte being under the rope.
Yeah,
because I didn't see that coming. Yeah. Like, that felt like decent storytelling. You know what I mean? Like, that's a small example, and I bet it was an accident. I bet it just, like, they watched it back, and they're like, but that's a small example where it's like, oh, cool, like, there's some continuity here. There's a plan. It always feels like they're always just, what's the expression I want? Flying by the seat?
Flying by the seat of their pants?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not an expression anybody I know uses.
Yeah, I'll say it, but I'll
flying by the seat of my pants.
Flying by the seat of
my
pants.
I'm just flying by the seat of my pants. What does that even mean?
I don't really understand it.
The seam of my, is it seam of my pants or the seat of my pants?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
let's not look it up, but let's confidently
we're not going to look it up because technology doesn't exist.
How much do you think that they wrote that storyline for Paige, or that Paige, just because she's a good, I think she's a good wrestler, and I think she's from a wrestling family, she gets it. But, like, this seems like a pretty fun, like, storyline, and it seems like Paige wholeheartedly is the reason why it's happening. Like,
yeah, I mean, Paige is doing a lot of the heavy lifting as a heel, but Charlotte is just kind of, like,
standing.
I mean, they used her brother last week in the promos. If Charlotte, we talked about that a lot, you know, that I'm butting heads with people that I speak to about. Some people thought it was cool to talk about Charlotte's brother who overdosed and use it as, like, a way to get under skin. I thought it was weird because Charlotte didn't seem comfortable. And then Ric Flair came out and wasn't into it. And Ric Flair's wife came out and wasn't cool with it. And then they cut it out of the package going into the match at Survivor Series. So it seemed like they weren't that cool with it either. And I know why they weren't cool with it. Wrestling's really good at using fucked up real things to fuel a feud. But this was just so out of nowhere. It didn't tie into anything. It was just like, I'm going to get under your skin. Which, I don't know. For me, it just wasn't done well enough. It could have been done well enough. It was. Also, it was blown. It's kind of like a cool thing. Look, it's not a cool thing. It's a horrible thing.
Yeah.
But if it ever tied into the storyline organically, it would be cool. But this was just like shoehorned.
Yeah, yeah. And that just is, it seemed, it seemed out of desperation as opposed to like at the end of an attack, like as a button of like a last match that would just be so dirty.
Yeah.
That would be like, oh, fuck, that's crazy.
And the fact that they ignored it made me right about that they shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
If they followed it through and made it work or something, or he came back to life, no, I don't know, whatever they did in the storyline. But I think that, you know, whatever, Charlotte is just, she's really lacking in the emoting and acting and just having responses. She's not quick on her feet. Like, she needs some improv lessons or something like that.
Yeah.
But she's a pretty great wrestler.
I think by and large, we're just talking about they just need better acting. They
yeah.
need better acting. And they just, I think they just need better characters.
Yeah.
Like, characters that are real. Like, what was nice about the heyday of wrestling is, like, you know, you have these guys, like, that represent certain guys.
Yeah.
I don't think they need to dumb it down that much. But, like, they don't use people well.
Yeah.
Right now, they all just look like wrestlers.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, CM Punk has that one line that always sticks in my head where he says, Vince is a millionaire who should be a billionaire, and he says he makes money despite himself.
Yeah.
And that always, you know, I don't know if that's true. I'm not close enough to the product to know at all, and I don't pretend to be. I just am a consumer of it. I find it fun to watch. But it's like, you're always like, oh man, there's so many choices that seem so obvious to everybody watching it. You wonder why. And I know there's things that I don't know. It's like the president.
Yeah.
You know, the president, he's in the Oval Office. Every president comes in and says, I'm going to close Guantanamo. I'm going to get us out of the war. And now Obama's like one of the more warmongering presidents. You know, because look, whatever they're seeing that we're not seeing, it's keeping them this. So maybe there's something they see that I don't know. But from my perspective, I'm always like,
you're talking about the authority. We're talking about storytelling. And the whole thing is like, what's happening in wrestling should be what's happening. It should reflect on what's happening in society. Like, so it's like the authority should be like
ISIS.
We don't know. They should just be like Wall Street more. And they should just be like, I mean, they should really be making people do things.
Yeah, show how they make so much more money. Show how them having the champ.
And show how wrestlers don't make it. Like, I mean, play into it.
But I think that's another thing about wrestling that's another weird is like Triple H and Stephanie, they want to be actors on the show and running the company, and they have too big of roles, really. And running NXT, and you're like, well, that's why you can't just focus on being a creative.
Yeah.
Because you're too many things. I mean, maybe I'm right about that. You know, that's something I'm coming up with just from us spitballing. Yeah. But that's really it. Paige, last thing I'll say about Paige, she does her submission maneuver on a table, and we keep talking about how it's a submission maneuver. There's no more impact on a table. I guess
but the table is slightly harder than the mat.
Yeah. I'm always worried that Charlotte's boob's gonna pop.
Oh yeah.
She just falls flat on her fake boobs, you know? Like it's always I don't know anything about how those work, but
I think they can pop.
But she gives her that Paige tap out, which just means you're gonna just flop down on them.
Oh god. Didn't that happen to one of the TVs?
Yeah, it happened to Eva Marie.
Eva Marie, yeah, she had silicone leaking
throughout
her body.
Yeah.
I'm sure they all do. That's crazy.
Yeah. It just seems like a really bad idea for
they should not be allowed to fall face first. Chest down.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Nikki Bella has them, like a bunch of them have them, and I don't
seems like a bad
idea. Alright, well
I just want to hear like a real loud
or just see one deflate. Like, it's like, I don't know. I feel it's on my mind, which maybe it shouldn't be, but it is.
Yeah.
It is, does seem like a hazard.
It does seem like,
you know what I mean?
It's unhealthy.
What happens if you MMA fight with, can you be an MMA fighter with implants? I mean, it hasn't happened. And I think like MMA fighting is probably, they would recommend you don't get them.
Yeah.
Just cause,
and like, I think anybody who's an MMA fighter would care more about fighting than having
implants. Yeah.
And so I think they wouldn't.
But that,
interesting,
might happen.
Oh, interesting.
And that would be interesting.
Be attacked if you can go for the
fight. And my last point, I know I keep saying this, on Paige is, she did a move that anytime it happens, I'm going to bring it up on the podcast. She did what I call the foot DDT. Now, which was my finisher. When we were backyard wrestling was huge.
Yeah.
Me and my friends would wrestle in a front yard. My friend had a bigger front yard than a backyard.
We had backyards, but.
Yeah, well, we did it in the front yard. And my finisher was the foot DDT. And it was kind of a joke. That, like, they know the Rock would give the people's elbow and send electricity to your heart. They would always say that. That's why it hurt, like, so much more. I was like, oh, this, like, hits the pressure point in your heel. And it hits your, and it goes up through your sciatica. You know what you would call it? Sciatic nerve or whatever. Into your heart. And it was like, and I love when wrestlers, I have a clip of CM Punk doing it. And now a clip of Paige. Giving the foot DDT as a real wrestling move. And it's such a stupid, it was my goof move that they use in a real wrestling match.
Clearly. Well, that's the danger of doing front yard wrestling. People can see you wrestle, and then they steal your moves.
Yeah.
You're going to make a classic. When you wrestle in the backyard, you can keep it secret.
Front yard wrestling is a really bad idea.
Bad idea. All the neighbors see you.
All the neighbors.
It's embarrassing.
Well, actually, I grew up near Paige. And CM Punk.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right. Wow.
They were in my neighborhood.
Yeah. Paige grew up. Oh. I grew up in Staines, England. great, cool. So, all in all, how you feeling about wrestling?
You know, it's a disappointed but hopeful. You know, I feel like I'd like to see the guys that we just talked about get pushed. I'd like to see Ambrose get his due. I think he's a mid-card guy that deserves more, and I want to see Wyatt become the Undertaker. And until then,
right.
It's just,
so you
like,
want to see new talent being pushed.
Yeah, it's time for another generation.
Yeah. And will you keep watching wrestling?
Yeah, of course.
Of course. No matter how negative you feel about it, we will always watch. And they prey on that.
And I will I will say, I'm exclusively watching, I have TV, and I'm exclusively watching it on Hulu because I get the 90 minute
version.
And I still fast forward a lot.
Okay, here's my last question. You've been not watching a little bit recently.
Yeah.
Do you have guilt? Do you have wrestling guilt?
I have none at all.
Great.
I feel like I'm watching the right amount to where I can have conversations about it.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I follow what happens on the pay-per-views.
Yeah. To sum it up for me, I liked the ending of the pay-per-view. Because, look, if they're going to push Reigns, this Sheamus thing is smart. So I like that it's smart. Sheamus, I didn't feel the cash in coming because it was executed properly, which is what Triple H, like I said, is good at theatrically. He's really good at stage picture or whatever you call it, ring picture. I'm interested to see, you know, where it goes. I think that I'd love to see Kevin Owens get a bigger push, but he is the IC champion. But it would be cool to see someone who's holding the IC win the main belt, have things be a little bit more predictable. And I agree, Bray. That's the biggest, the saddest thing going on right now is the Bray stuff. It just feels ridiculous. You have the chance to push a guy who has a really cool faction going, and they look weak and stupid.
They've gone from cool to silly.
Silly.
And that's so weird. Also, New Day, let's do it.
And New Day. Let's push New Day.
Black wrestlers matter. Let's
Great.
Do this.
Yeah. Black wrestlers matter. All right, Zach, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
How can we find you social media-wise?
Oh, God. You know, on Twitter, at Zach Broussard, and, you know, ZachBroussard.com.
Zach with an H.
Zach with an H.
Great. It's
still Z in the front.
All right. I am Dan Black. I am your host. You can find me on Twitter at DBlackAttack. Tell me if you like the show. Tell me if you hate the show. Tell me, you know, if you want to see Roman Reigns and undies as much as I do.
Dan, we didn't even talk about ISIS.
Oh, we didn't talk about
we
ISIS.
We didn't talk about ISIS.
Oh, we didn't talk about the potential ISIS attack on in Georgia.
This is just a bonus conversation at the end of the episode.
Bonus conversation. Do it.
Are you disappointed that there wasn't an attack?
I'm not disappointed.
I'm not pro-ISIS. But
if there was a kayfabe ISIS attack?
Oh, that's my big thing. It's like,
that would have been 90s amazing.
Wrestling would have made Rusev cut a promo on behalf of ISIS.
You know, if Reigns... When Reigns comes from the crowd, sometimes I get a little nervous that it's actually ISIS. He's dressed like ISIS. He's wearing, like, combat gear. You know, like, that would have been great timing.
Who's signed to see on?
Yeah.
That's really
I can't believe we didn't bring this up. Oh, you know, I have it written here, too.
It's the most interesting thing that happened in wrestling in the past, like,
Should I end this earlier?
You know, maybe.
Yeah,
it's
maybe.
Fine. I think it's fun that we forgot about it completely and we're just...
Well, we're not trying to give, focus to ISIS. Duresh.
I just wish that wrestling seems like the one potential like target that would have used it to its advantage. You know what I mean?
I mean, if you look, this is the most fucked up conversation you could have about it. If a terrorist attack happened at wrestling, they would do such a great job of packaging it. Like they do with Connor's
Cure
and stuff. Look, I love that stuff. I think WWE is a great organization. I'm not knocking it. Just, I mean, all the memorializing and the wing they would have in the Hall of Fame. I mean, it would just be...
What an insane week, too, because you have, like, Anonymous getting involved in, like, the terror, into the world terror crisis. And then you have Anonymous videos talking about a WWE pay-per-view.
Right.
You have Anonymous cutting promos.
Anonymous
cutting promos for you.
Anonymous would be a great character. Come on, the guy from
Mask. I know!
And, like, just, you know.
I my big thing is I'm surprised that they don't have an Anonymous. Like, I'm surprised that they don't
have... Well, that's what they have Tyler Breeze coming out dressed like Marty Jannetty instead of...
You should just have, like, a real fucking dork character who's a hacker.
Yeah.
And, like, basically, he's maybe a bad wrestler technically, but he can hack into the system,
well,
bro.
You're hitting on something that I always say, which is that more than half of our UCBW ideas are great actual WWE ideas.
We had an actual wrestler called Wall Street, and he just did what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Just be a big, shitty
guy. That's my favorite gag of all time. From any UCBW thing we ever did. He'd be on the Bluetooth, he'd be cutting a promo, and the announcers would just be like, is he on the phone? Is he talking? And he'd cut a promo and just be like, I'll call you right back. So this whole promo that he clearly said directed at the audience was his phone call.
That's so funny.
That was
but
the best.
Basically, they should... I understand why they don't want to have terrorism characters. I get it. But they probably should dance with it a little bit. Because it's what America cares about. It's like the only thing America's interested in and nervous about is just like, I guess they're just...
You can't have to do it because then it could be like xenophobic.
Yeah,
you know
I understand why they avoid it, but there's a way to do it. And I feel like they're already doing like a weird tea party thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm not
all of America.
There definitely is a way. Yeah, the tea party. There definitely is a way to do it. But the best way to do it is like stuff they've already done, which is like Nexus and... You know, like NWO kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Like, you could have that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's hairy.
It's hairy. Because,
you know, wrestling is 90%. The whole audience is 90% troops.
Yeah. True.
So.
That's so true.
The crowd is 90% troops.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
I just feel like we're not making crowds angry enough. Like, even if it's the faux anger. Though you go to, you go watch wrestling to boo.
Yeah.
And, like,
I guess it's,
yell.
Now it's like the PG era. The edgiest they get is saying country music sucks.
I know, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah,
but even, like, you're going to be edgy, like, have a character that's super liberal.
Yeah, or they could have
like,
a kid,
do
like,
something.
They could have a character who's a bully, like a school bully. People hate school bullying.
That's the only thing.
Or they could have gluten.
Gluten
come out.
Yeah.
They just challenge everybody's real.
Yeah. Maybe just a character who's trying to, like, ban cigarette smoking in public spaces.
Yeah.
So people are like, you know!
Yeah. They get just hitting the real issues of today.
Yeah, I just feel like they don't do enough of that because that's what we loved about wrestling. And right now, it's just too much wrestling.
Yeah, well, the one thing they were really great at doing is income inequality. They've always had the wealth gap be very far. They've always had the million dollar man.
If they were smarter though, they would tie in the authority basically making money and wrestlers not making
That's what I was saying.
And maybe, like, if they're really smart, maybe, like, a faux, like, concussion storyline, like the NFL. I think there'd be, like, a really
That
fun,
they would
like,
never do.
They would never do because there are actual injuries, but, like...
But they could hit on some controversy in like, UFC. Like, there's a lot of controversy about what those guys get paid. They don't get paid enough. And UFC's a little bit still, like, you win, you have money. You lose, you're, like, eating ketchup packets.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I want to see them, like, I feel like, set themselves up as kingmakers a little more where, like, there's a reason for Reigns or whoever to fucking, like, win some kind of contract with them where they can fucking make matches and, like, push other people over. I think that's basically what happened in the interview here, and that's fun.
Yeah, I think
that's, like,
storytelling.
That was all
Stone Cold. It comes out of the story.
It was like, they need to make somebody a Stone Cold to go against, like, because basically Triple H is doing a pretty good McMahon.
The match, yes, I agree. I'm just trying to, like, make a thesis of what you're saying, but it feels like you're agreeing with my idea is that story.
So you're saying you're right, just for the record.
That I'm right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm always saying that. Yes, yeah, I'm always saying that. Right. I'm saying that you're agreeing with me.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I agree with that.
Or you're drilling down into my idea and being like, hey, the matches are good. The wrestlers are good. You're not knocking the wrestlers. The stories suck, and the backstories of them suck, and they're all two-dimensional.
Yeah, they're just... And even when they are too simple, they're convoluted.
Right.
Like, you can't be simple and convoluted at the same time. That's crazy. It's one thing to go for, like, an elaborate story and maybe lose your way, but to not have a story. But anyway... I'm happy that ISIS did not attack.
No, of course not.
I mean, we obviously are not endorsing ISIS, and you're not endorsing
ISIS
anyway, right?
No, of course not.
Okay, I just want to be clear.
Was that not clear?
You didn't say that you weren't endorsing
ISIS. I think that if ISIS attacked, they wouldn't be able to kill the dead man anyway.
That's so true.
So,
I think that.
You can't rate. I think that's why they probably backed off. They were like, well, the Undertaker's already dead. So.
Insane.
Wow, that joke. Try to edit that out.
I love it.
I don't know. Ever since I moved to Los Angeles, I don't have a good gauge on sensitivity.
Yes.
Because it's like
it's
everyone here is so vapid and out of the loop anyway.
I told a story. I had a stand-up show where I was just telling a story. I mean, is it obvious that I'm not, I'm from the South, and I was telling a story about growing up in the South. And how I had, at one point, owned a Confederate flag. Just because I was a teen in Louisiana, rural Louisiana.
Right.
And had not even thought about it.
And you weren't up there
and
being,
proud
of it.
The point of the story that I was going to get to is that I have, evolved to understand that it's stupid.
Right.
And the crowd wouldn't even it was like, I got a, from someone in the crowd. And I just didn't even finish. Because I was like, it's just not worth explaining to, L.A. Smiths.
No.
It is it's a weird time.
Yeah, it's a weird time. I think, LA audiences are they're super sensitive, but they're also ill-informed and not fully...
They're two-dimensional characters.
They're two-dimensional
exactly.
characters.
They're like,
there should be a wrestler called LA.
LA.
I mean, there is. There's 50 versions of that.
I think
there's all the divas. Tyler Breeze, I guess.
Tyler Breeze is sort of LA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, they kind of have Ziggler, lumped in there, but... Whatever.
Okay.
Anyway, so, Zach, that was great. We went on a whole tear after the outro already.
That's great. I do think, that was worth it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Just for the record, you do endorse ISIS?
No, I don't.
You don't endorse
ISIS.
We're glad
they're called Duresh.
I'm glad that they didn't attack, but I do wish that maybe they had a storyline. Yeah. Even just a dumb freedom thing. I don't know. I just think...
I wouldn't know how they would do it.
Yeah. I'm just surprised they haven't tried. You know?
Well, Attitude Era, they'd be all on it. They'd have a full stable of terrorists, and they'd come out with the Quran. They would go, that was what Vince was just like, we gotta just shock people every week.
Yeah, I mean, that one clip of him just talking to, what is it about The Undertaker? It's like a clip where he's talking about The Undertaker, he's like, I want you to go in there and rape her!
Oh,
and
yeah.
He just I think he, sanctions a rape in a promo.
There's some horrible clips
of
this.
And that's, I think that's clearly the lowest point.
There's that, and then there's also when he dropped the N-bomb to Cena.
Oh, yeah.
And then he walked right by Booker T and goes, "Shut," he doesn't understand what he did. I don't know why Booker T said he would be part of that clip.
Oh, God.
Great. All right. That feels like a good wrap-up point. We just got a little controversial. That's for the people who listen to the end. You get a whole bonus. Ooh,
some people check it out early.
Yeah.
You didn't get to hear Dan endorse ISIS.
No, I didn't do that at all. Okay. All right. Anyway, we're saying bye. Come listen next week. We'll have another comedian on. We'll talk about the same old wrestling shit.
Bye.
Bye-bye.